Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to get right into our message today. I'm going to not do a review today. We do have all the messages up on the podcast, on the website, church website, my website. It's all there. It's so important to realize that the Imago Dei is a Latin term for the image of God. That's all it means, image of God. We use the term because it's a beautiful term. It helps us focus on the image of God. But it means no more than the image of God. We've studied, again, I say one thing from Genesis 1. We derive that term from the statement when God said in creation, let us make man according to our image, after our likeness, male and female, he made them. Amen. So man is male and female. And so that's the very point at which God created humanity. Animals, creatures of different sorts are not made in God's image. Only people are made in God's image. And every person is in God's image. Christians, non-Christians, everybody. Of course, it takes Jesus to realize and experience the fullness of God's image. But we should be hopeful as we reach out to people to let them know that the Imago Dei, you are made in God's image. Sometimes people are living under a burden of self-hatred, of trauma of different types, and they have self-hatred going on and all this. But it's important for us to come along and encourage them. And one way to do that is to remind them or teach them for the first time maybe that you are made in God's image, not in the image of animals. You haven't descended from an animal, from apes and such. Evolution, you know, is just one big fat lie, you know, which is really a dehumanizing reality in that world that to tell somebody, you know, what you are a highly advanced monkey or ape. It's just silly. But we know that we're made in God's image, purpose built. Amen. So again, can't review, it's too much to say today, but we thank God for that message. Today, here's a title slide. I want to focus today on part five. We'll be entitled, The Image of Love. Say the image of love.
The image of love.
Image of love. You know, God is love. So it's correct for us to say image of God, image of love. Our first scripture would be 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. If you can read that, read with me, please, if you could. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. And this is the great place to start. And now he's talking to believers, Christ followers, people who have received Christ and have begun to realize what it means to have the image of God. And he said, everyone who is born of God knows God. All people are born, but only people who know Christ are born of God. So the objective is to move people from being born naturally, being born again or born spiritually. And the benefit of that is once a person is born of God, then they have this understanding and realization they know love, because love is responsible for us being forgiven, sins being washed away, our lives being preserved and kept until the point in which we receive Christ. He says, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God. Now, a lot of people going around not loving, or we say haters going around. And that's all evidence of people who do not know God. Now, what's interesting is it looks like there are people who call themselves Christians who don't love, who don't know God. You know, sometimes people are with people but don't know the people they're with. Right? You know, if you're married, my wife and I, we've been married 42 years, and we've gotten to know each other pretty well now, you know. But early on, you know, it's when you date and get married, you don't know each other. That's the big illusion of being married. You know, we in love. Yeah, you're in love, but you don't know each other yet. You don't really know what you're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? You haven't seen him wake up. No, you haven't seen him, haven't heard him snore yet. Because you're not shacking up, so you wouldn't know that, right? Yeah. You know, and she's not so fine first thing in the morning. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, you don't know each other, but that's okay. Because the whole idea of love, you can love and then get to know. The point to having love is you have the opportunity to know. So how much more those of us who have been born again and now been saved for a long time, we've come to know God, amen? And that's evidence of our love. It's the love that he showed us. Because he first loved us, we can love him back. And we're learning how to love God and love people. So ultimately, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And today I want to talk to you about the importance of recognizing the Imago Dei, the image of God, is the image of love. So understanding what love, how love is, who love is, how love is going to help us realize God's image in us and help us to help other people recognize who God is in them. I'm going to talk a lot about practical matters today, a lot of scriptures that I'm going to share with you. There's a lot to say on this subject. I'll first begin with this statement. God uses many activities to prepare people to receive the gospel of Christ. For example, we cannot preach the gospel to hungry people until we feed people. We cannot preach the gospel to persons who have experienced injustice without dealing with the forces of injustice. Whatever injures Imago Dei, the image of God, in people hinders the heart and mind from receiving the word of God. Now, we as believers have had this thought, if I can just preach to them, everything will be all right. If they get saved, if they know Jesus, they'll be just fine. Well, there's a sense, of course, where that is true. But if the person you're looking at is hungry, then trying to preach to a hungry person is going to be difficult for them to receive that because their hunger will distract them, right? So what Jesus did, he fed people to get their attention, to feed them, to meet the need, and then went on and preached the kingdom. It's all throughout the scripture, and so that's the missionary model. They go out, they feed, they take care of people, clothe people, do works, good works for people, and then you come behind that and you preach. Because you've shown people the love of God. Amen. Now you're explaining who love is. You follow me? You show the love, then you explain it. So then, but we have in our mind, if I just preach to them, or preach at them, really, when it comes down to, then they'll be saved and they'll be better and they can find a way clear to improve their lives. But no, the model is quite the opposite. Now, I say this because we have done this in our ministry. We've done this for years and years. And God uses activities of different types to prepare people for the gospel of Christ. Amen. So then feeding people is very obvious. What's less obvious is dealing with injustice. That's less obvious. That's the part people say, that's just politics. No, we're talking about people right here. So whatever injures people, whatever injures people, injustice, trauma, hunger, it will hinder their heart and mind from receiving the word. I mean, they're literally too distracted by the pain to pay attention to what you're saying. We expect people to pay attention to what we're saying, even though their hunger or their trauma is just foremost in their mind. And we're asking them, okay, listen, I want you to set aside your hunger pangs, set aside the scars of your trauma, and listen to me talk to you about Jesus. It won't work. It won't work. Because they've already heard about Jesus. And they may have heard about him from somebody who wasn't representing him properly. All the more reason to do the works of God, to show the love. Show the love. And then tell them who love is. Amen? Make sense? All right. So that's why we do what we do. That's why I think God is shifting the paradigm and helping people understand, even those who've long, long been against doing anything so-called secular, they understand God uses all kinds of activities to prepare people for the gospel. Some things are not the gospel, but it prepares them for the gospel, clears their mind, clears their hearts. You follow me? Put them in position where they can hear and pay attention. All right, now, next statement here. What was impossible, the love of God made possible. What was impossible, God's love made possible. John 3:16, you know it. Say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's impossible for people to save themselves. It's impossible for people to know and love God without God's help. So what was impossible, God's love made possible. And so by Jesus coming and defeating the power of sin, the power of the devil, he said, remove them from darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. All those things God does are impossible for us to do without God. So love made it possible. And so now God is, he is showing his love to the world. He gave his Son. Now, next scripture builds on that. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that something? So look at this. Look at this. Christ died for us before we knew there was a Christ who would die. Before you were born, before your parents were born, God made a provision when we never even knew it was available. All the while we're growing up in our ignorance. In my case, I'm bashing Christians. I'm just cursing God, and all of that. He loved me. He still loved me so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So love does what is impossible for people to do. So now, listen, we carry that same love. Slide goes on, says this. We carry that same love, and love awakens Imago Dei by connecting us with the nature of God, which is love. So I carry the same love. Yeah, the same love that God has, we carry it. And when we practice it, it awakens the image of God in us. Because we're simply connecting with who God is. God is love. Whenever we walk in love, I mean deeds and truth, not just the words, but deeds and truth, it awakens, it excites something in us, it activates in us the character of God. And God is love. Love is more than a feeling. You know, Apostle John told us, love isn't only in words and tongue, but deeds and truth. So whenever you do these activities, whether it's, going to the juvenile center, whether it's volunteering someplace, even when you're not preaching, especially when you're not preaching, it is the love of God that you're demonstrating. And you're preparing that person to receive a message from you. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? And Jesus did it. He's the model. He's the model. But listen, we're not just sneaking up on people and trying to deceive them into believing. No, we're genuinely showing love. We're showing love first. Because you've heard, you've had people talk to you about what you should do who didn't love you. And you knew it. Right? So as Paul said, if I do all this and don't have love, I'm as a clanging cymbal. Right? So you know, it's like people talking to you and they're talking, they're waxing eloquent in their own mind. To you, it's like, why? To you. Clang, 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 clang. That's all, you know, because you know they don't love you. And when someone don't love you, you don't care what they say.
Amen.
Because, now you should care, but you can't because you're distracted by a lack of love. Now listen, had people not been through so much madness and trauma and betrayal and been lied to, people might believe you. Amen. If you just start talking to them.
Yeah.
But because people been through so much mess, you got to show the love of God first. You've got to show love first.
Amen.
Then you have an opportunity because they want to know that what kind of Christian are you?
Amen.
Folk know there are all kinds of different Christians.
Yeah.
All kinds of different folk. There's churchgoers. I mean, all kinds of folk. So they want to know, what kind of so-called Christian are you? Who am I dealing with here? I told guys we had men's meeting yesterday. I had a great men's meeting yesterday. It was wonderful. And to the point that Pat made, my back was really messed up the morning. My back was hurting bad, so I was going to cancel the meeting, you know. And my excuse was not many guys are coming and all this kind of stuff. And Laura said, now, come on. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that. You do faithfulness. You've always done faithfulness. So I dragged myself up, you know, prayed, and just walked straight up. You don't bend over. If it fall down, leave it there. If it fell, leave it there. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't bend over.
Yeah.
But I came, we had a good meeting. Praise God. But in the meeting, I was telling guys that I was playing golf one time and they paired me with a guy. I hate playing with people because you don't ever know who. Well, it's best to bring your own pairing.
Yeah.
Or they put you with somebody, which is, you never know what's going to happen. So I was with a guy, one of them guys who hit a bad shot and began cursing. Blankety blank blank. Oh, man. So after three or four holes of that, I'm like, I can't take no more of this. So I'm going to give God equal time. So next time he cursed, I said, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just said that, you know, just to say something. He said, oh, are you a Christian? Well, I'm Deacon so-and-so. I go to so-and-so church. I wasn't even surprised by that, actually. I mean, I was dismayed by it. My point is, what kind of Christian are you dealing with? That's why people you want to preach to don't know who you are. I'm a Christian. That'll mean nothing to people now. So what means something is the love of God. Even before announcing who you are, just let your fruit speak for itself. Because we should begin, listen, y'all, we got to stop throwing these titles around and begin to function. If we function, that will speak for itself. So then that's what we see in the scripture with Jesus, the apostles. Today, what we do, all the activities we do are because we love people. And that gives us an opportunity to then preach to them. That's good, isn't it? Next point here. Now, I've been reading a book. In fact, I finished reading a book last week by a man named Jamal Tisby. I'll talk more about that later. It's a book called How to Fight Racism. And this is a very good book, but I'll read this quote. We'll talk more about the book later. Now, it's kind of small, but I'll read it to you. He said this in page 7 of the book, one of the first few parts of the book. He said this. As we begin to treat each other with more love and empathy, it would not only change the world around us, it will also change us. As I have taken steps to promote racial justice, I have developed more endurance, discovered untapped wells of creativity, and experienced more joy than I ever expected. The journey of racial justice is itself transformative. Right, so this is experience. Notice he said, as he began, as we treat each other with love, right? So it don't matter what we're dealing with, if love isn't the motivation for it, then we're missing the purpose of doing it. That's a very beautiful statement. Now, 1 John 2:10. Now, this love, the love of God, helps us not to stumble and help others not to stumble. 1 John 2:10 says, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." Now, I think, okay, stumbling in him, in whom? In the person walking in love or in the brother being loved? Well, either way. Because when we love our brother, we abide in the light. You know, the problem with the world is darkness. That's one of the major issues, darkness. And you know, when it's dark, you can't see where you're going, right? So when people walk in darkness, they stumble. I stumbled, you stumbled before you knew Christ. So then when we love our brother, we abide in the light. We bring light to the situation. Think about this. The activities we do, the social work, the social justice, the things we do for people, whether it's Freetown Village, whether it's Ophelia, whether it's Gwen and the Child Initiative policy initiative things they're doing in meetings. Nobody's preaching in there. But they're showing love, right? And that love is bringing light. And whenever there's light from people who love people, then people don't have to stumble. That is, we won't stumble, and we help people not to stumble. That's the value of doing good works. Hear what I'm saying? Not just preaching. It isn't all about preaching. It's about doing what? Good works. In our professions, whether it's, you know, my wife and Nicole, Jonathan, educators, those are good works. That is, it takes love to teach children. Now, amen, somebody. Now, here it is. No, it don't take love to teach day one. It takes love to stay with it for day two, week two, month, year, you know what I'm saying? Because stuff come up thinking, I think I chose the wrong profession up in here. Yeah. Whether it's Nurse Ingram, all of us in our professions. Think about it. It's love that keep you in it. I mean, you need the money and all that, and that's a big part of it. But if you're really good at it, if you enjoy it, I'll say, it's because you love people. All of our professions somehow, some way, deal with people. Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. Therefore, when we love our brother, who is my brother? My brother is everybody. My brother is my neighbor, like your neighbor is everybody. The humankind, we're all brothers in terms of being human. Not so much in Christ always. Well, when we love our brothers, our sisters, our love people, we abide in the light. Amen, somebody? Amen. When you love, it's like bringing a lamp in there, bringing a light. If it's a dark place, when you show up with love, you're bringing light. Amen. In the environment. Amen. Now, this word stumble is interesting. I looked it up in the Greek. And it's the word scandalon is the Greek word, as we say it in English, the transliteration of it is scandalon, which interesting looks like scandal, doesn't it? But the Greek word for stumble, it means a trap, a snare, a stumbling block. Any impediment placed in the way and causing one to stumble or fall. This is very powerful. Very, very powerful. So we find people in the condition of darkness. And because of that, they're trapped, they're snared, there's a stumbling block over which they fall, an impediment placed in the way. Now that describes injustice, doesn't it? impediment placed in the way. It was nothing there till someone threw it there. You know what I'm saying? Put it right there in front of you because of, you know, who you are or whatever. He says, so think of all the traps and snares that come when we don't receive God's love or share his love with others. But then think of the light that love brings that helps you navigate around the traps, the snares, the stumbling blocks. You know, God will literally show you because he loves us and we love God and we pray and we walk with him. You know, God will show you stuff. Amen. Don't do that. Don't go over there. Don't talk to that one. Don't call that one back. Don't go to that meeting. Don't do this. I mean, he'll show you what to do and not to do because he loves you. And he don't want you trapped and snared. Now, I don't know about you because, you know, I wasn't saved my whole life. Now, I got saved 21 years old, so I got saved pretty young. But I for 20 years, I say, I was into all kind of traps and snares. I go from a trap to a snare. You know what I'm saying? Then the stumbling block would get me. And then I'm back into the snare. Just living in darkness and sin. The Bible says, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I see the police, I'd be nervous. The Bible says the wicked flee when no one's pursuing. So the point is, darkness has all these effects on people. Now, realizing Imago Dei within ourselves and helping others realize it is a function of the love of God. That's the point we're making. The good works we do is realizing that Imago Dei within ourselves and helping others is a function of the love of God. First is that God loved us, followed by the truth that because he loved us, we can love one another. All right. Now, 1 John, back to 1 John, is the whole text. I put the whole text in. I'm going to read the whole thing now. But read 1 John verses 7 all the way through verse 16. Let me skip ahead to the second slide there, 1 John 4 and 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word simply means the substitutionary sacrifice. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. There it is. So what we do precedes what we say. Our walking in love lays a foundation for the entrance of light. And then with that, we can present the gospel and all the rest. So please understand that. Now, many believers have misunderstood, again, said earlier, that social work and social justice is also the work of God and a manifestation of love. Now, that's not clear to a lot of believers, okay? They think that I got a Bible in this hand, I got a tract in the other hand, and I'm going to go out here, I'm going to preach to people. And that's, you know, it's not wrong, but it's not what Jesus did. He served people. He served people, fed, helped, healed people. And sometimes he never even preached to them. They just came following after him. They came following after him because he loved on them. So we have a backwards model sometimes today. We just think that we got a Bible in one hand. Actually, we got a hammer in one hand. It's a hammer and a nail, what we got, you know. Because to some Christians, everybody is a nail, and I'm the hammer. Everything you tell me is the nail. You know, I've been abused, and I feel bad about myself, and I've been lied on, and so rather than love you, they get the hammer out. Come on, the scripture hammer. and go to bounding on you. All right. Anything that restores Imago Dei in people is a work of God. Okay, you see that? Anything that restores Imago Dei in people is a work of God. So God's only work isn't preaching. It is all the activities inspired of love. That's a part of restoring image of God in people, elevating them to the point of being able to receive the Word of God. Now, three books. Let me go back to these books I mentioned earlier. There are three books I'm going to show you on the screen here. And I've read all three of these books. I've spoken about them, the first two especially. And these are books by brothers who are Word guys and Christ followers. And I mean, so the first book is White Too Long by Robert P. Jones, The Legacy of White Supremacy in American Christianity. He went there. Say he went there. Second book is Urban Apologetics, Restoring Black Dignity with the Gospel by Eric Mason, Dr. Eric Mason. Well, understand that to really be effective in preaching the gospel, you must be effective in walking in love, understanding what has injured Imago Dei in people, what has distorted the image of God in people, whether it's white supremacy, whether it's self-loathing. The third book here is How to Fight Racism, subtitled Courageous Christianity and the Journey Toward Racial Justice by Jamar Tisby. So those are books that I recommend. And also I'll recommend, next slide, my book, amen. Biblical and Social Justice, what is it? So then, listen, God is raising up what I call prophetic scholars. We had that in Jesus' day. You know, people who, Paul was a scholar, but who used the skills for the gospel. And it's time for us to get off of and get away from people who just say things we used to say from the side of the neck, you know, just say stuff. And with no foundation, no research behind it, no fact behind it. And that's where we find too many Christians today, just saying things. They heard somebody else said. But this new generation, they're not just saying stuff. They've done the research. They've lived the experience. And they're walking in love and have discovered what love would do. Let me go on because it began years ago. Now, let me share this with you. Again, talk about walking in love. Say, walking in love. Social work and social justice are works of love. Get that through your mind. It comes up against a lot of religious mindset, but get it through your mind. Works of love. If they're done for that purpose. Here's a quote from Jamar Tisby's book. Love requires the use of power. In his roadmap to racial justice, Where Do We Go From Here? Dr. King wrote, power properly understood is the ability to achieve purpose. It is the strength required to bring about social, political, or economic changes. Went on to explain, power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. Justice at its best is love correcting everything that stands against love. Get that down. Justice at its best is love correcting everything that stands against love. Because isn't injustice and racism and white supremacy a function of a lack of love? Ultimately, whatever hurts somebody, whatever crime's being done, whether it's white against black, black on black, doesn't matter, it's all about a lack of love. Then he said this, love is not the mere feeling of affection. In the beloved community, love is an action that uses the levers of power to bring about justice. That's from like the 1960s. They understood this way back then. Again, we cannot preach the gospel to hungry people until we feed people. We cannot preach the gospel to persons who have experienced injustice without dealing with the forces of injustice. Whatever injures Imago Dei, image of God, in people, hinders the heart and mind from receiving the word of God. Very important statement. Help us understand who we're dealing with. Why won't he listen to me? There are always more broken hearts than hard hearts. There are always more broken hearts than hard hearts. You think I got a hard heart, they got a broken heart. You got to love them through that before they'll be able to receive you the way that they should receive you. Let's talk about this. We don't understand the context behind things that are done and said today. So Black Lives Matter is one of those phrases that is deeply misunderstood. Now notice that when I say Black Lives Matter, I got capital B, small l, small m. When you capitalize all three words, you're talking about the organization. I'm not talking about the organization. I'm talking about the human concern. Now, it began this way. This is from Tisby's book. I'll read this to you. In July 2013, Alicia Garza, a black activist and writer in Oakland, California, wrote a phrase in Facebook that would become a rallying cry for the modern black freedom struggle. She said, "Black people, I love you. I love us. Our lives matter." Now, that's where it all began. She said, in light of the injustice, "I love you. I love us. Our lives matter." What that is, in our context, is recognizing Imago Dei. Everybody should recognize that they're precious, that they're important before God. Goes on to say this. She wrote her post in response to the acquittal of George Zimmerman, the man who killed Trayvon Martin. Garza and others popularized the hashtag Black Lives Matter. That's where it started. It started with a concern that this pattern of abuse and injustice against black males, against black folk, all these really centuries, and then more recently. And so she simply expressed to encourage folk who felt threatened of being the next Trayvon Martin, the next whomever. No, listen, I love you. I love us. Our lives matter. You got that now? See the context? It's amazing when people don't know context, they just make up stuff. All right, next point. So our topic is the image of love. That's our topic, the image of love. Jesus' disciples asked the question, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And there were 10 commandments in the Old Testament. And of course, the Pharisees invented hundreds of other commandments. So the question came, what is the most important? Mark 12, 30, 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. You see it? Love God, love others. That's how the image of love is the love or is the image of God. And finally, Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So these are very profound insights here. And if we can just get the picture that, okay, let me walk in love first. All the activities that we do for people is because we love people. Our work, our profession, it's all about loving people. And from that foundation, we can preach. Hearts and minds will be more open to us. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us of these truths, these insights. Lord, thank you that you are love. God is love. So then the image of God is the image of love. In Imago Dei, then in us, is realized as we walk in love towards you and towards others. Lord, not doing things from selfish ambition, but putting the interests of others above our own.